4 years ago, we started our rental company in a 10 by 10 storage unit.
I sold my necklace for $10,000 to start the business.
We put all our profits into growing our inventory.
We now make over $2 million annually.
At 40% profit margin.
Stay tuned as we dive into how to reinvest in your business.
Reinvest. So Eddie, they're trying to reinvest. They should reinvest into the ultimate get started checklist.
Yeah, that's the cheapest and easiest way to get you up in the game. Ultimate checklist, I'm sure you've heard us talk about it every episode, maybe a couple we missed, but it's totally free, tons of information, and it's ever growing. So jump on that, download it, message us if you can't find it, and get the ultimate checklist. It's totally free at no cost whatsoever.
Yeah, and it'll be the first comment and the first thing in the description. And this thing will really help you out. We've already seen a lot of people already talk about how they're using some of the techniques in here. And it just really to help you avoid the issues that we've had. Okay, let's get into this, though. So, talking about reinvesting. So, like, why do people even need to reinvest?
Well, I think people need to reinvest that way that the company grows. But at the same time, there needs to be a little strategy to it. I know when we first got in there, we're like, all chips in, baby.
Yeah.
it worked out to us, but at the same time, it hurt us a little bit as far as things were like a little rocky. You can't just put everything in. I think we were very lucky that things didn't go south when we did do that, but we're here now, so.
Yeah. So when it comes to, like, you know, just why you're reinvesting and stuff like that, so this is kind of what we came into. So our first strategy when we first kind of got started and understanding the deep part here, we knew that we didn't have enough stuff to be able to do what we needed to do on there. So when you're probably getting started, you're probably getting quotes for stuff that you don't have. Like if you only have 100 chairs and then someone brings up a 1,000 chair order, you're not going to be able to do it on there. So if you want to make more money or do bigger projects or work with more clients, you're going to need to really build up your resources and your inventory, so you have to reinvest. But reinvesting can be done in multiple different ways. It could be inventory, it could be vehicles, it could be people, it could be skill sets that you learn. It could be a multitude, like your warehouse, it could be a lot of different things. Most things in the rental industry, you think of reinvesting, you think of actually the actual items in there, and that's kind of where you can start. But usually if you push one area up, you have to wrap back around and push another area up on there for the most part. But what you reinvest your profits in is going to really determine exactly how much money you can make in the future, and it is necessary. Unless you're watching this right now and you're already at the top and you're like, you know, I'm good, I'm on an island, all that stuff right there, then you don't need to, then if you're that person, you don't need to reinvest. Everybody else who's trying to grow or trying to get to a specific spot, then you need to be taking some of your money and reinvesting back into it. It's very necessary to grow on there. It's just very necessary. It's literally no way to grow because your equipment over time is going to decline and get worse and worse eventually. You're going to need to replace that, so you're going to reinvest for that, which means that your inventory is going to go eventually down to zero at one point, and which means you're not going to have any more money to be able to do in this right here. And even if you're taking and selling your items and then reinvesting the money back that way, or taking part of it doing a half and half approach or 75-75 approach, whatever it is, and really just putting it together so you can get maybe, you know, 150% more equipment than what you had before you put the money in for, or whatever the reason is for that. That's a good way to go through and do it. Now, this next thing, I didn't find the right time, is like, this is a whole new perspective. Because most people know they need to reinvest. Most people who are listening to this right now are probably, you know, already thinking, I can't wait till I get 100 garden chairs. I can't wait till 200 garden chairs. We had a consultation not too long when his main focus was like, I need to get more and more of those items in there.
Yeah.
But like, what's like the right time? What's your right time, Eddie?
Well, I think that it's a tricky
question. How tricky?
Because one thing that we know is, so when in the rental industry, there's like seasons, right? And you know,
except if you're in California,
yeah,
you got good season, great season, and better season.
Yeah, exactly. So, and another thing, whenever the optimal time to buy is sometimes the hardest time to buy because everybody wants to buy, and now the product, you know, takes longer than expected, or it's out of stock, or, you know, all these factors that come into play. So the right time, it could be different for every person's situation. So it's not a, you know, cut and paste answer. It just depends on where you're at with your company. Also, is your cash flow, you know, if can you survive certain parts of the season with investing this money, or will you need this money to kind of hold tight and to make it over to whenever the promised land, the honey, the good time where you're making most of your money. You know, sometimes you got to hold on to that money, that way you can make it to that point. So it just depends on the business and how it's run and the needs of it to 100% determine when's the best time for you to buy. But things to think about.
Yeah, I think the best time would be exactly when you need it and you get it the exact day.
Oh,
in a perfect situation.
Yeah, if you can get it like that.
For the best price.
Yeah.
On there. It doesn't really always work that way. But I know for us, when we look at reinvesting, this right here, we'll talk about a little bit in a little second, the strategies on there. We do it when you can do an opportunity approach, or you can do kind of like a more of a straight up strategic plan approach, or a mix of the two.
Yeah.
For those. But when I think about the timing for us, we really want to buy our equipment going into the busy season, but not at the end of a busy season, which you're going into a slower season. Because we've had issues where we went out and we've like dumped like, you know, $70,000-$80,000 on equipment, and then we still got 3 hard months of winter to go into it. And, you know, you'd rather do that going right into it at the very end. So you can keep your cash and keep your cash flow up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And run just more on a cash heavy basis, because then you can use some of the sales too from when you're building up for the upcoming to get more stuff, or to really get what stuff's going to be needed as well if you're not keeping track of it. Now, like I talked about, the 3 strategies for reinvesting. So you can do kind of like which we started first. Whenever we have the money and whenever the opportunity comes in, the money meets the opportunity. So it's like, here's the money, Eddie, where's the opportunity?
Yeah. And the reason why we're able to do that, another thing, you have to kind of have your vendors down. You have to get good relationships. A lot of these vendors, like, we're able to, like, to say, like, commit to a deal one day, and the next day we're at the warehouse picking up the product. And this stuff can be, like, all over the place. We'll go, like, Mississippi, even Miami, Florida, Ohio. We go all over the place.
Yeah,
to
I pick remember up that Ohio product. Trip. That was interesting.
That was fun. It was during, like,
kind of the winter. I remember you ran out of gas, and I woke up.
Was that me or was that you? It was you.
We don't have to go into details.
Switching it. Yeah,
we don't have to go into the details.
But anyways, stuff like that. So if you have, you know, if you run with that strategy, you just have to have things planned out. That way you can jump on the opportunity. So it's a good thing to have a list of your vendors, what they'll allow, what they won't allow. If they work with you and just like last minute orders, you just go run and pick it up. Because one thing we know for sure, if you try to overland anything, it's a lot of money, especially for equipment. So just things to take in consideration. How much work do you actually want to do? But, yeah.
And as you get bigger, you're going to shift more towards the planning stage, where you have a certain amount of time where you're going to invest this amount of money that you have to invest into very specific things on there, and it's not really opportunistic on there. But I think the thing, and that's a whole different approach right there, and that's one thing that we've been leaning more towards. Like at this point in time, we're going to buy this amount of stuff, and we're going to buy it for these exact reasons, and this is exactly when we're going to buy it on there. So that's a whole nother approach. Right now, we're in a mix of it where, like, we have our kind of like our board, our list of stuff we want to purchase. If anything that comes across the table that has these items on there, we're going to take the order and then we're going to book it.
Yeah.
So we have part opportunities and then part plan, but it's only these plan things. Now, if we're doing a deal and like it's going to make and break it and we have to buy $1,000 and it's a $10,000 deal, then we're going to just buy the $1,000 thing, especially if we're getting rentals from there somewhere else. Or we might also do an approach where we might sublease it if something we don't ever gonna rent out, just so we can have it. And we can so we can use it for the thing and still get the money from the other things on there. But the second approach, I would say, like, it's kind of like the approach we're being right here, which is the you know, we do like the opportunities and we do planning. So on there, some people do one or the other. When you start off, you're probably going to be more on the opportunist side, because you need to use these opportunities and you don't want to let your job go by and you're thinking, oh, I won't be able to get this event ever. But then when you get really, really big, like bigger than us, you'll be like, it'll be too difficult to do all these random purchases at random times and actually make dent into what you want to do. because it'll just be random, and then like the logistic around it would be terrible. But in this little happy medium, which I'll say is between like a million and probably like 20 million, you can kind of go through this stage right here of being able to purchase, like having some stuff planned and then some stuff that is just opportunity on there. Because like if, let's say like someone comes up here and we have like 10, someone needs to rent 10 structured tents, mm-hmm. And they need to rent it every single month inside a contract for us, and it's every weekend, then like you best believe that's going to end up on the plan.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
On there.
It's happened before. And sometimes some of these deals are like, it pays for themselves. And then you just think about like afterwards, it just 100% profit. So any of those kind of deals, you have the flexibility and the willpower to make it happen. Just make it happen. You're gonna fast track your growth.
Yeah. And then I want to give a shout out to our one of our partners, Next Insurance. Next Insurance is a business insurance broker, or not a broker, but they sell insurance. They sell general liability. They sell property insurance. They sell automotive insurance, and they sell like basically a lot of different types of insurance, tool insurance, all this stuff right here. It's really good for you guys if you're out there looking for any type of insurance. We already seen a lot of you guys have already signed up, and everybody from the rental boards community as well. So make sure you sign up for the link down below and use that right there. And also too, when you do sign up, it helps the channel out so we can produce more content. We can pay Tina and stuff like that, so she don't run off on us on there. And then also too, I want you guys, I seen that a couple more people have been signed up for Rently, which is it's basically the part of rental software. If you use our new code that I just got in today, it's called Rental Boys with C. It's kind of the name saying just Rental Boys for Rently. They'll give you $50, and then you can for you signing up for your next thing. And Rently also has a free version too, so you can use the free version, and then when you make enough money, you can transfer over with the $50 to actually build out your stuff on that one, and build out your accounts, or build out your actual website. So the next thing is like, so now that we have, like, we know when we're gonna buy stuff, we're gonna buy it, you know, in February and everything like that. We know kind of what we're gonna, like how much we're gonna spend and everything like that. Which for us, I would say like, if you're, a good way to do it is like, if you have profits at any time, if you just straight profits and you keep the stuff, I wouldn't try to go more than half of what your profits is. It's difficult and stuff like that. So kind of go from there. But this is going to be on a lot in the resources and prioritizing what investments you need to actually make. So like, I'm gonna let Eddie kind of talk about like some of our personal ones. Like, what is like the, even though I know we're working on getting some stuff in right now before busy season.
Yeah.
Again, like, what's the number one thing that we need to purchase right now?
Oh, number one thing is tents.
Why?
Well, just because the dollar amount that the tents bring in, and then also it'll kind of give us time to work on the tents that we do have currently, kind of phase them out and then replenish them, because we want to have a certain standard in our company. So we want everything to look nice. But there's just a lot of jobs that we're constantly losing because we don't have enough tents. And one thing that we mentioned is just the amount of money that we're able to gain with just the little amount of tents that we have. So just imagine we're tripling the amount of tents that we have. Now the ceiling is even higher than what we can make.
Yeah. If you have some used nice tents to sell from Salina, reach out to us.
Yeah.
If not, Salina, reach out to us.
There you go.
But, yeah, so that's like one of the biggest things we need to do. I think we spent a lot of time this winter kind of getting our Shafari chairs together and getting all of those swapped out from the metal ones to the resin ones. We did all the garden chairs when switched with, not the garden chairs, the farm tables.
Yeah.
From the homemade ones, which those things made a killing, literally. But, you know, it was issues. We had to repair them. We need to keep someone who's a carpenter in the house and stuff. So that was obviously not the best source of our resources out there. So like having those, like, so for us, you know, it's taking what items that you need to either replace or you need to try to work your way into that the customer, that your general customer is having. And for us, it's just tents. Like, we just don't have enough tents. And like, I know when we send an inventory check thing or what stuff going out, I know he hates seeing that zero on there when we're 3 weeks away from the actual a week on there. And I'm not saying that we don't like selling out, but like we would
it
like to
opportunity, I think.
Yeah. too much. I was like, damn, we need to do more on this right here. Because then you're thinking you're spending money. The ads and stuff are not being able to, you know, you can ask, you're spending money on these leads or you're spending time and effort on them. And then people, you got to tell people on the phone, oh, yeah, we don't have no more 10s. Or, oh, yeah, we're not doing that. Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I really wish O. Henry made the High Peak one. So we can just go there because we'll have so many more tents that we can just go straight there and pick it up from Waco. So if you're O. Henry out there, like, you need to be on that stuff. Like, you're missing out. But I guess they've been making tent for 30 years.
Yeah.
They made some sidewalls for us. They were the openings. They were pretty good. I liked them.
Yeah, they were good.
On there. So let's go into the rental rundown.
Rental rundown?
Yeah, rental rundown. This is, yeah, Tina Toon name for it. So we're going to tackling your FAQs.
All right.
So you're free to ask questions. So we have two of them. All right. I'm going to throw this over and let T answer them as our new nickname, T.
Okay. First question is, what to do with delivery leads you don't convert because of price?
Okay. So you've got the leads, and then they're like on the thing where like, the delivery is too much. Mm-hmm. So how do you sell them, Eddie?
How do you sell them?
Yeah. Where'd you use the workout again?
So I used to work at Ford.
Okay.
So how I'd sell them? Well, here currently or at Ford?
It's him currently.
Here currently? Well, how I would sell them is basically see what their price is. What's the difference? So just tell them, like, where we got to meet at, and then see what you can do. If it's something, maybe they can take a cut of the actual product that they're receiving in order to meet their budget. So there's different methods I would use. But at the end of the day, a lead that's gone is money you already paid on. So, and another thing is they could blossom into more work in the future. So if it's a first time customer, I might give it a little leeway as long as it's not too far away. Like if they're saying like it's $1,000 off of budget, I might, we might have to do some cutting in order to meet that. It just depends on the customer. If it's a returning customer, I'll do whatever we need to kind of do to kind of make it work. But at the same time, I need to see as long as it's going to be profitable.
Yeah,
this is the main thing that I'm looking for.
Especially if they're renting something that's like, if they're renting something that is not going out, okay, we're going to make it work. We're going to do that, obviously. Now, a couple other options that Eddie didn't even say. He usually always says this on this right here. It's two things. So if they can't convert to a delivery, then just see if they want to come pick it up. Save them all the delivery costs. Save us how much of times the ball's in their court. We don't have to worry about being late or anything. It's all on them. It depends on when they show up. That's the first thing you can do really quick. Yeah. The second thing is do like any time you give a discount or you give up any type of money, you want to make sure you get something back. And this is something that I learned from this guy who worked at Ford Motor Company. Y'all might know him or you might not. I don't know. His name starts with E, I heard. but he always talked about this right here. When you give something, you get something back. So for us, if we're going to give up on costing, we want something back. So maybe that might be, hey, can you give – then like I need you to write me a review. Or I need to be, hey, do a case study. I need you to send me some photos or all of those. Or it could be, hey, I need you to plan out your next three events with me and sign this contract right now that you're going to do these next events with me if we're going to give you this discounts. Like whatever the thing is. It. Or if you do a thing where you used to pay 25% down and maybe you want all the money right now, that could be something that you can work on there. Like generally from what I've learned from Eddie in this part here, people can have one or the other but never both. You can have price or you have terms. So if they take price, then you select the terms. And you can make up the value in terms for most of them. Now, obviously, like Eddie said, if your cost is $2,000 and then their cost is $1,000, there's probably no way to meet in the middle on that one. But if it's like a 20%, 10% kind of lean or $20 off a delivery and then you can get a review for it or you can get a referral to someone that you might want to meet that they know or something like that, or, you know, just whatever it is. Or it could just be like at each table, maybe they put up your business card on there. Maybe they let you put a sign in the front on there. Just negotiate all these little things right here if you're going to be doing this stuff right here. Because some people are going to want to haggle with you. And then if they're good people and then they're good customers, like you can still get the money and stuff from them and you can still grow your business on there. And also making it a great experience for them on there. So that's good. Question two.
All right, so the next question is, what tools and equipment do you need to work smarter and faster?
Tools. You don't need no tools.
Yeah, right.
Use these hands.
All these hands.
Just these hands. Let me see them hands. Yeah, look at them hands. That's the only tools you need. No, you're going to need lots of tools. And if you don't, if you're not using any tools like dollies, you know, tent jacks, trailers, vehicles, if you walk in, dropping these things out by hand, whatever you're doing, you're going to need some tools on there. But, like, what do you think are some of the biggest tools people can would need when they're just starting off that they can get?
The biggest one is going to be just the, like the hand trucks. Those things are like come in handy in so many situations. If you can get a convertible one, that'd be even better because you can fit it through doorways and whatnot. Even like when you do your bounce houses and stuff like that, you're going to need a nice one. I know everybody wants to get the electrical dolly, which I think you should because I've hauled around water slides wet and they're no fun. But yeah, just the basic tools you're going to want to get is like a hand truck. That way it takes the load off of your body and puts it all on the hand truck. Four-wheel dollies, they come in handy. You can even, like, arrange them in a certain way. If you have tables, you can stack them all up and then put two four-wheel dollies. That way you can roll them around. Also, the same thing with the chairs. When you're going into customers' houses and businesses, they come in real handy.
Yeah. I think the start off with, I think that's pretty much it right there. I mean, if you're just starting off, having
stuff
to move.
Too.
Yeah, door stops.
There's so many times like you wish somebody would hold the door.
That's a cheap investment.
Yeah. You can cut a piece of wood or whatnot.
Yeah, or get a nice thick wedge one, you know, from Amazon. Home Depot sometimes don't have them, right? They have the real small ones, and you get the door slams on you.
Right over it, yeah.
Or if someone had to let you in and you have to keep coming across and you get locked out and that's why you're late to your next job,
mm-hmm.
Not a good. So if you're starting out, I would get those three things. And you should already have those three things.
Yeah.
And then maybe some blankets and stuff like that just to kind of limit damage and everything like that. For the most part, everything else would just be software. I would say just if you're from a starting point, like make sure you set up on the right software. Like we were not set up on the right software at first. Like QuickBooks, who knew you can't really run your business off of just QuickBooks invoices. They doesn't track inventory. Who knew that? Oh no. So
that
like,
fun.
Yeah, so that was terrible.
I love those calls.
In the spreadsheets.
Our party's about to start in an hour. Are you on your way?
It's like, yo,
we're on our way. And thank God we're like 20 minutes away. Just load up real quick.
Load it up really quick. Get it in there. I'm there. So, like, you don't want to be in that situation. So, get you a good software. If I send, like, Rently, you can use that. Use our code Rental Boys. Don't want to get too promotional in there, but you get $50 on there from there. Now, if you're kind of past that point and you're on to your next stage and you already have your location, the next things are going to be, like, so most things you want to deal with the strategical stuff first. Like for us, like you want to get racks and stuff. You want to get, like, we have things for the linens and everything like that. Like you have all these other tools that you can bring in the house. Like if you're washing linens at home or you're washing linens at another place, you can bring that in house. Dishwashers, all that stuff as well. But for our next stage, we have like two things that we are planning to get this year. One of them is a chair cleaner. We could throw up a thing of what it looks like or something like that. But chair cleaner, we're going to do, which also, I think you can do tables, right?
Yeah, you can do tables. I know what we're going to get.
Yeah. And then you can do chair cleaner. And then the next thing is going to be some type of ironing solution, which it really depends on the stuff. Because, like, the girls have gotten so good at ironing. I just wonder how much faster the machine to be in the space we have. But if there's an ironing machine that's around that $15,000 to $10,000 range, we'll be getting one of those on there. Maybe it's more to install it or something, but we have gas at the location.
Yeah, we have gas. The lines run up, so I'm pretty sure we can figure something to run straight down.
Yeah.
We might have to restructure how we have our setup. But
those are the two things right there. Yeah. Those two things. And then, like, if you, like, have, like, hundreds of tents, like, that tent washer, like, literally right now, like, if we double our tents and we double again next year, I'm going to find a way, break a way, steal a way for us to get a tent washer in some way out. It just, and then the services you can offer for this on top of it, if yours is not running all the time.
Yeah, because I don't think there's anybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that offers it.
Yeah.
I think they said Peerless used to offer it, but they don't offer it anymore.
And if you are in Dallas-Fort Worth area and you offer it, reach out, we can talk, go from there. It'll be nice on there. So that's the rental rundown on there. So going back again, kind of recapping everything from the very beginning over there, you know, understand that you need to reinvest. And there's many, many things, a reason why you need to reinvest. And then once you realize that, which I'm pretty sure most people watching this already know they need to reinvest, because you're reinvesting in yourself right now, taking your time, putting it back into you learning more, so you understand that. Then the second thing is like identifying like what's the right time to reinvest. Let's recap that real quick. What's the right time, Zeddy?
Well, like I said, it varies on every person's business. But if you have, you know, your profits, and I'd say maybe like the best time to reinvest would be whenever you have a certain demand and you're not able to meet the demand, and the gain outweighs the losses if you invest in that certain product. Like I said, if you can get it where it's an equal handoff, where like they basically pay for the whole product and it gets in your inventory, or if even 50%, like some of the, some of these items ran out for almost a full cost of what you can go out and buy them yourself. So if you can get some items like that, it's very tempting to just go ahead and do it. If you also have plenty of money just stashed and just you're not doing anything with it, and you need to get it on an asset, that way it starts making more money. So just kind of basically on the demand that you have. But just whatever you do, don't buy something because you like it and like, I think it would do good. You have to have some kind of back in on reasoning why you should buy it. If it's going to make you money, then by all means go ahead and get it, but you have to have the demand to back that purchase. Yeah. You know,
decision. Like that pink throne chair you bought that luckily started renting out on there that I forgot. So your strategy for reinvesting is going to be, you can do like an opportunity approach. When opportunity comes, you have the money and you take advantage of it. A planning approach, or a hybrid of the two, I would say, on there. And then the last thing on here is going to be like how you allocate, like once you decide on when you're going to buy and you sign the strategy on it, like what you're actually going to purchase to on there. I would really focus on stuff that's going to make you the most money. We chose tents because it's always rented out. We get a lot of demand. We have more demand for tents than what we have, and then the demand is consistent out in the future too. So it's not something that's going to be like trendy and you buy it and then it's gone on there. So just along that lines right there. But honestly, guys, thank you so much for watching the show. Please check out the links down in the description. Hit the ultimate checklist on there. Hit it up on there. I'm still working on the next thing. So we're going to push something else up to update it. Everybody who's on the list will get the update too as well. But thank you so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we'll see you in the next one.
See you.